there's a whole movement afoot with a nice little article from Refinery 29 that says that the young female socialists are about to take over Minnesota. And Tori's on the line with us to tell us all about that. Hi, Tori. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Tori, I hear a lot about this. I have a number of friends that are big into a fresh socialism kind of move. I know that Bernie Sanders has made that very well-known and fashionable for a lot of people to recognize themselves as a democratic socialist. Tell us about what's going on with Refinery 29 and what's happening with this movement in Minnesota.
Yeah, so Refinery 29 is, just for some background, is one of the leading digital publications websites for millennial women, and women of all ages, actually, but largely women in their 20s and 30s. And really one of the goals of the site is to cover politics and news through the lens of young women and their voices and what's happening with them. And we wanted to take a look at the rise, as you mentioned, in popularity on the left and democratic socialism and how women in this age group were kind of fitting into that movement. And what we know is that, you know, democratic socialism in general membership has just skyrocketed since, as you mentioned, Bernie Sanders' campaign, and even in the wake of Trump's win in the past year with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York, where you are now. You know, it's gone up from about 5,000 around the 2016 election or before to 50,000 as of earlier this month, last month. And a lot of that membership growth is being driven by young people. The average age of members has plummeted. And we took a look here in Minneapolis, where I live, and across the Midwest at young women and found a lot of excitement and enthusiasm from women who are turning to this philosophy and this movement as a way of kind of organizing and channeling all of this energy they have right now, you know, around what's going on in the world and the country.
Yeah, well, it sure seems to me in the work that I'm doing around the country that women are driving an awful lot of the political agenda and appetite and issues. Now, with almost any political movement, it seems to me that the policies matter, but it's almost always for a political movement a worldview more so than a particular policy. And if someone tries to boil down, you know, whether that be conservatism or liberalism or Republicans or Democrats to just one policy, it kind of misses the whole point. So if people hear, you know, democratic socialism or it's kind of socialist upturn, and they're like, well, I think what they want to do is just have universal health care or something. That doesn't really get at the worldview that's behind it. Do you know what I'm getting at? And do you have a sense of what these, as you call them, these millennial women are seeing, or what they're, how they're viewing the world that's helping to shape what is this candidate, young female, kind of socialist-leaning appetite in politics?
Yeah, I mean, healthcare is a big, you know, healthcare is a huge issue for a lot of these women, and Medicare for All specifically. But, you know, as you mentioned, it's not just that. And I think it's this sense of disillusionment with the current state of things, both the state of the country and it's for some of them, you know, the Democratic Party feeling really disconnected from that, even though a lot of democratic socialists are working within the Democratic Party. But really they want, it's those issues of economic justice, right? So it's a livable wage, a higher wage, it's stronger rights for workers, it's stronger rights for renters, you know, all of these issues. And if you think about it, it makes sense for millennials and millennial women in particular. You know, they came of age during the financial crisis of a decade ago, either in, you know, high school or college at the time. They graduated, most of them, with loads of student debt. Women statistically carry more student debt than men do, actually, as borrowers in this country. Housing prices are going up. Here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, I know, I know in St. Paul it's tipped the $1,000 average, you know, for rental prices. And, you know, they're really feeling like disillusioned with the state of things, particularly when it comes to the influence of corporations and capitalism. But it's not just that. It's kind of there's a real thread of intersectionality within the democratic socialist outlook or ethos, where, you know, it's very much, you know, when they talk about reproductive justice, is not just about abortion rights. It's about, you know, making sure women are protected at work, have, you know, not being harassed, have a job that can pay for childcare, you know, things like that. And so, you know, there's a lot of connections between some of those other young progressive movements that are looking for, you know, more satisfying and just, in their view, world for all.
Now, a lot of people, you know, who would argue for capitalism, right, which tends to be the, mm-hmm. the general majority of people, would like to say yeah. all of those things are what capitalism is supposed to provide, right? Mm-hmm. That it's supposed to provide safe working environments because the market would demand it, and it should provide rewards so that people can pay their bills because that's how the system works. What do you think is going on in people's minds where there's an appetite to sort of let go of those promises that some people have been making for 40 or 50 years since the last time there was a true social kind of movement back in the 20s and 30s and 40s in the United States. What are people saying about why the capitalist approach to these issues didn't work?
I mean, I think that from the young DSA members I spoke to, they just feel like those promises weren't delivered upon. I think that that's really what's driving that,
yeah.
is that they look at their lives and the life of the people around them, and they don't feel that way. You know, there's other kind of racial and social justice issues that they're kind of very fired up about too, including, you know, abolish ICE has become a big motivating
yeah.
issue for them as well. And so there are some of these other issues that are very hot right now, you know, in the news a lot, that are also attracting people. But, you know, that's what a lot of the people I interviewed said. And even, interestingly, some women who were candidates or political strategists in places mm-hmm. outside of the Twin Cities, which are, you know, going to be more progressive than places outstate or in other Midwestern states, you know, even folks who were identifying with democratic socialism or involved themselves but didn't think that the socialist label could work in where they live
sure,
necessarily,
sure.
were saying, you know, people may still think of socialism as a bad word or a scary word, or be hesitant to that idea, think it's too radical. But when I say things like, you know, when I talk about these principles and that the promise that we've been given is being let down and all of that, like, that's what's connecting with voters, knocking in doors. And so, you know, that was pretty interesting. Of course, you know, the solutions or the, you know, the policies that a lot of the democratic socialists are kind of backing as solutions here, you know, there's questions of political feasibility being very, very far off, if at all, you know, cost. It's not like they could snap their fingers and make this happen, but they feel very strongly about continuing to march towards or work towards their goal of what they think is going to be a better society.
Well, after the break here, maybe you can say a little bit more about this question, but that's one of the things I wanted to ask you is when you've done the reporting on this, what's the response from other Democrats, from more of your kind of traditional Democrats or people who'd be spooked by the notion of, you know, democratic socialism? What is their response to this uptick of kind of young feminine energy in the political sphere, really calling for socialism? Because it was easy to set it aside when it was kind of the Bernie Bros, you know, of 2.5 years ago, and that really feels like it's been turned around, and it feels like it has a really different and much more feasible energy to it. But what are you hearing? We just have a minute or so, but what are you hearing about the response from the more standard Democrats in the Democratic Party in particular?
Right. Well, one of the impetus in some ways for this story after Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won in New York and there were all the headlines was, you know, when Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois said on one of the Sunday programs, one of the news programs, no, you know, democratic socialism can't win everywhere. Not the whole Democratic Party shouldn't move left. There's lots of places where, you know, we just where that's not a winning platform or issues for us. And, you know, if you look at the track record, many of the candidates that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was backing in the wake of her win did not make it through their primaries. So I think that that's a really good question about, you know, really how broad of an impact this movement can have on electoral politics in the party. A lot of it, I think, is to be seen. Will young women actually vote in the midterms, and who will they vote for, the ones who identify this way? And can this organization kind of channel that energy into folks voting? That'll be a big question. We can talk more about that after the break, too, as well.
Yeah, thank you, Tori. Well, that's Tori, refinery29.com. You can go find all this there. This is Doug Padgett. We'll be back after the break, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are 4 delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Find your place in a community you'll love on the Parade of Homes. Learn why new, energy-efficient homes can save thousands on the Green Path Energy Efficiency Tour, sponsored by Xcel Energy. Free guidebooks at holiday, or plan your tour with our new tour planner at paradeofhomes.org. The Parade of Homes, sponsored by U.S. Bank.
Parade of Homes, where dream homes come true.
Good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Hello, humans. It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity and inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to others. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look at the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their 2 convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
Hey, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett here. Hope we're coming in okay from New York City, from the Big Apple to the Mini Apple. Remember that, Brett, when they used to refer to Minneapolis as the Mini Apple? I don't hear that kind of thing anymore. But
not real. I do vaguely remember still. It.
Yeah, vaguely remember. Very old school kind of way to refer to it. Well, hey, we're talking with Tori here, and Tori is one of the writers over at refinery29.com, a website that wants to connect with issues that revolve around, how did you say it, Tori? Millennial women, particularly?
Young women. Yeah, mostly millennial women, but women in general. Refinery covers the news through the lens of women and how it affects their lives.
Yeah. Tori, tell us a little bit about where the name Refinery 29 comes from. What's that a reference to?
Well, that's kind of a long story that goes back to the site's origins over 10 years ago when it was more of highlighting different kind of creators, makers, artists, boutiques in New York. And as all media, it's evolved a lot since then. But yes, it's the audience has stayed the same, and kind of the main kind of focus or goals of the site in being giving a platform and elevating the voices and experiences of women have remained. So, and that's what we try to do in this piece, talking to women about their political views. Yeah.
Yeah, and you did a great job with it. And I think there's just some wonderful irony that you're in Minneapolis. I wrote this article for a New York-based website, and I'm in New York interviewing you about this, where you used to live, and we've just sort of flip-flopped places. But your article is called The Red...
Yeah, we're all connected, right? Yeah.
Isn't it true?
Cell phone.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank you, Skype. You've written, "The Reds are coming, and they're young, female, and determined to win America's heartland." Well, some of that in the political arena means you have to be able to partner with the system that currently exists. At some point, the outsider has to become a part of the insider or just take over the inside to have power. How is it that this, as you call it, this young female determined socialist effort, how is it being accepted by the broader culture of Democrats?
Well, and that's, I mean, there's a really, there's clearly bigger tensions and discussions happening within the Democratic Party, as you know, on the left, of like how far left to go, you know, especially heading into 2020. Yeah. You know, you are seeing a lot of the top kind of 2020s contenders, people like Cory Booker, people like Kirsten Gillibrand, people like, I mean, obviously Bernie Sanders is in there, Kamala Harris out of California, shifting left a little bit in their platform. Well, think about how many co-sponsors Bernie Sanders has for his Medicare for All bill compared to just a couple of years ago. You know, the discourse, some of them are adopting abolish ICE. You have a lot of calls for decriminalization and even legalization of marijuana. So you're seeing kind of a shift, and a lot of that might be in response to that hunger from these, you know, younger voters and shifting views among younger voters who are aging into like a more reliable voting bloc. Because, unfortunately, young people and college students in particular do not have a good track record when it comes to voting, including in midterms. And we'll see how that changes. But, like I mentioned before the break, though, when you look at some of the DSA endorsed candidates backed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who will be one of two Democratic socialists serving in the House of Representatives come January. The other is a woman likely, you know, pretty much guaranteed to win in Michigan. I don't think she even has an opponent. A lot of the candidates, the kind of who are going to be the next Democratic socialists to emerge in the primary, very progressive candidates, a bunch of them didn't win. I mean, some did. Some of them didn't. And so I think this is going to be a question moving forward. And when you mentioned working within the party structure, political structure, like that is also a big point of tension for Democratic socialists. You know, when the Twin Cities chapter here had to hold an emergency endorsement meeting because they weren't ready to endorse for the primaries and hadn't really planned on it. And then after Ocasio-Cortez won, there was all this interest from progressive candidates on the ballot here who wanted an endorsement, right? Who wanted that seal of approval. And there were members who didn't think that the group should be endorsing at all, who doesn't want them to be working within the electoral political system that exists now. And so it's kind of it'll be interesting to see how this group that has a movement that has really exploded in membership and is striking a chord with young people, how they do kind of evolve in the political system and act within it in the cycles to come. I think that's a big question for them.
It's fascinating. And I wonder how much of this, some of this I'm asking your opinion, I guess, more than what you might have sussed out as a reporter. But There's this, I remember this billboard from, I think it was Treasure Island Casino there in the Twin Cities area. And their slogan was, come in a Democrat, go out a Republican. And their idea was, if you came into the casino, you're going to win so much money that you're going to switch from being a Democrat to being a Republican, right? You're going to want to keep all the money that you want. That was their sort of tongue-in-cheek, like, come in a poor person and go out a wealthy person. And, you know, what they're doing there in that ad was poking at the sort of stereotypes. And I think back to, you know, in the 1960s, there was a slogan before I was old enough to know, but it was became the baby boomer generation, never trust anyone over 30. And it was a big kind of social movement. And you tend to see this for people in certain ages, right? That in your teens, in your 20s, maybe approaching your early 30s, there's a kind of sensibility that can feel like, you know, a socialism sensibility. But then, you know, what a lot of people would say is life gets to you. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know, there's just some other issues we have to face. And you're going to come back to a more conservative or maybe not conservative, but a less socialist kind of perspective. And I know there's only a minute or so left here, but do you have any sense of that, that people in the Democratic Party are just waiting for these people to age up so that this this fever will break that's calling for this kind of socialism movement? Or do you think, like I do, that there might be something longer term in all this?
I mean, time will tell. I think with some of the issues, particularly when it comes to racial justice and just like kind of worldview and outlook, I don't know how much that is going to shift among those who are really cemented in it now. But this is something that did come up in my reporting when I interviewed some political experts and an expert on young person voting in particular. She raised the point, you know, especially when you talked about some of these policies, whether it's universal health care, free college, things like that. It's easy to want them when you're young and you're not paying a lot of taxes anyways, probably, and you need the services.
Right.
When you get older and you age into and you are paying more taxes and it, you know, presumably as you're out of college and entering the workforce, will that start to shift? Mm-hmm. Will the kind of some of the realities of the practicalities weigh in? We'll have to see. I think only time will tell on that front. But we'll see kind of the power of this voting bloc too. And I think a lot of it will also have to do with, can they sustain momentum and win? The age thing you mentioned was interesting too. You know, young people felt very strongly about Bernie Sanders. He did quite well among younger people, despite being, 78. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and some of these other candidates are like a new younger face that's introducing these ideas to more people, you know. And so how she does in Congress, I think, will also, you know, play an impact too.
Well, Tori Venu, thank you for your article. I think there's an indelible mark being made by this movement on our society, and I think it's going to be long lasting. And I really appreciate your coverage of it. That's Tori Venu from Refinery29.com. You should bookmark it if you're somebody that still bookmarks.
Thank you. Please
browser.
Do.
Hey, yeah, really good. Really
follow
good
on Twitter, Instagram. Great. Thank you.
There you go. We'd love to have you on anytime. Thanks so much.